So, our guest today is no stranger at building wildly successful online communities from the ground up. With an impressive track record of launching products that leverage network effects to connect people in empowering ways, they have their finger on the pulse of what makes digital communities tick. And they had the war stories to show for it. Hardened by the trenches of shipping to the last percentile, solving user issues unforeseen until products hit global scale. The lessons they've accumulated managing runaway successes contain unlockable wisdom for anyone trying to understand the art and the science of community building online. So with that said, I'm thrilled to welcome Kaylee Slusser, lead product manager at Chief, where she heads up activation and community, to the Same Logic podcast.
Thank you. Very excited to be here. I love listening to all of your episodes. I've learned a lot. So happy to impart any wisdom I can onto the audience.
It's great to have you. So let's start off. How did you first get interested in product management as a career?
I definitely didn't start out in a classical way. I grew up in a really small town, so small it didn't have its own zip code or streetlights. So needless to say, I did not come from families who knew you could work in tech. My closest introduction to it was sending my mom's sheep on Farmville. When I went to college, though, I went to the University of Pennsylvania, and it was there you start hearing whispers of the industry that is tech. And I think you really hear it through the giants of Google and of Facebook. So I had a mentor of mine in college who interned at Facebook. And all of his stories just sounded so amazing to me. Like the things he was able to do as a 19-year-old boy to make impact on the world in a way that really mattered. So from there, I was pretty much stuck. I ended up getting the same internship, and I did that twice at Meta, now Meta, then Facebook. And I loved it. I went back full-time after college in product, and I worked in the community services incubator. So it was 0-1 products, a really startup environment, but within the behemoth that is Facebook. So I loved doing that. And that's really where I got my start into product management.
Well, what has been your craziest or most memorable professional experience so far?
I think the most memorable experience would be launching Facebook Campus. So if you aren't familiar, Facebook launched Facebook for Facebook. It was really kind of going back to its roots in a lot of ways. And we launched to, I believe, 15 campuses to start. And you had to sign in with your EDU email. And then we had groups and events and classes and questions and things that the students could do to engage with one another. And I remember working on that product, I believe, for 6 months with a really small, scrappy team. And we were all so incredibly invested. Lots of late nights, lots of changing strategies. And you don't really know how things are going to go until you put it out in the world. So it was the middle of COVID. We were all very remote. And I remember just sitting there, hitting refresh on dashboards, waiting for people to sign up. And I think that was just such a rewarding experience to see something from an idea all the way through and to have a hand in that and see how students later got to use it, especially during such a trying time as COVID being a student.
So you mentioned Facebook Campus. Walk us through like what the end-to-end development process for those platforms look like. How was ideation? How did everything come together?
Yeah. So let's start with Facebook Dating, because that was the product that I joined first. So Facebook Dating is a dating app within Facebook app, just like everything that the incubator would ship. And I joined when it was already pretty large. I don't know the exact numbers that we can reveal, and I haven't worked there in a bit, so I'm sure they wouldn't be accurate. But it was already at a pretty mature state for a launched product. So when I was joining, it was at a really exciting time because it was in those moments of hyper growth. So my role there was really helping manage the European Union launch. And if you aren't familiar with the EU and laws there, they are a bit stricter than the US. So learned a ton about GDPR. So there was definitely a huge research phase in the development, really understood what it meant to have your product work in another country that has completely different laws, and then how that affects your product for countries that don't have those laws too. So did a lot there in that process. And then launching things in the EU is also really exciting. A huge team of us went out to Europe for the launch. It was a Valentine's Day launch, which was very appropriate for the dating app. And the process there was first research to understand like what you needed to do even. Second was development, like what you could do, given that there's a launch deadline, that was this critical Valentine's Day moment, making sure that you were compliant and making sure that everything was ready to go. And then once you're getting there, it's a real moment of celebration, but there's a lot that goes behind it. So when you have press, you have phones that need to have the dating app. So you have to create fake dating environments with fake profiles and make sure they're polished and their Instagrams are connected. So I was involved in all of those steps and making sure that it all worked when it happened and that the launch was able to be successful. So that was for Facebook dating, so a little bit more mature state. But then for something like Campus, which was 0 to 1, it's totally different. So you have launch dates in mind. And because it's a school, there's like a school cadence that you have to keep up with. So external deadlines you don't have control over. But what's great about Facebook is that they have some of the best teams ever. So you get to work with the best researchers to really understand students and their needs. You get to work with data scientists who can help you understand how that demographic already uses your product, and then just be able to have specialized experiences for them. So a lot of ruthless prioritization for what was going to make the first cut.
What were some of the most unexpected challenges you faced in activating like new networks on Facebook Campus? How did you get students to actually start connecting?
There was a lot that the team does through partnerships with the schools, which is very helpful. But there was a lot that we did with the students directly. And we weren't afraid to be scrappy with it, which was really great. Another perk of being more in an incubator setting. So we did different groups with the students and to ask for feedback. So we would ask students to join just like a regular Facebook group, and then we were able to talk with them directly and understand really what they wanted. So not just general students, but like the students who are using our products. We'd be able to go in there and post questions, get feedback on things that maybe hadn't even launched yet. And it was a really amazing experience to work with your customers that directly in a way. So I think we learned a lot of surprising things about like how students really viewed Facebook and what they were expecting from the product, and then how we could deliver on those expectations.
Having managed communities across different spectrums, different groups, like student groups, entertainment, dating, what have you noticed that the most successful online communities tend to have all in common?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that it always starts with a couple of your power users. So whenever you have a product and you ship it out there, you're going to have quite a range. You're going to have a handful of power users. You're going to have some people in the middle who use it casually. And then most of your people are probably going to try it once and then sort of trickle off. And what I've really found from working on a variety of different types of communities is that you really have to listen to your power users. Because what your power users have done throughout that journey is that they've done it right. They either had the right motivations or the right sort of tenacity to overcome boundaries of the product. So what I really like to do when thinking about building strong communities is map out what all of those journeys look like. So when someone is a power user, when they first enter the product, what are they doing in their first 30, 60, 90 days? And is there something that a power user does that we can then replicate with other users? So for example, let's say a power user let's use a platform that I haven't worked on. Let's say Discord. Let's say in their first 5 days at Discord, they add 5 different servers. Then after they're on their servers, you see that they're messaging in those servers at least twice a day. And then from there, they're adding friends. And then you're able to sort of understand the mindset of a power user and what they're able to do. And that's crucial because it makes them really healthy and really great for the community because they give back so much and they're really the lifeblood of it. So what I love to do as being product is really trying to tap into the mindset of who the power user is in a community, who's really starting everything, and then finding ways to make those actions easier for more of your average everyday user. So the power users, maybe they're not afraid if something is broken to like keep trying again until they get it right because they have that motivation. So how do we make it not broken or make it seamless for someone who maybe doesn't have as much time? And at my current role at Chief, because we work with executive C-suite women, for listeners who aren't familiar, Chief is a unicorn startup who focuses on C-suite and VP. It's a social network for them to have connections and learning and development opportunities. For that user base, you're some of the busiest women in the US and now in London. So you really have to get in that mindset of, if I'm so busy and I have a million things that I could be doing, how can I tap into this network and this community to get the most out of it for the amount of time that I can put in?
I'd love to hear your perspective on privacy and safety in online communities. Where's the line drawn, and how are modern platforms approaching this?
Yeah. Privacy and safety always needs to be at the forefront with anything community. For product managers out there listening, if you have a PRD about community and a risk section does not include privacy and safety, definitely add it in. And I think every product is really different across industries. So, for example, with Chief, it's a fully vetted community. Every single member gets interviewed, gets reviewed. It's a highly vetted community. So, in terms of risk and safety there, we already have a huge, really high bar to entry. But when you're working on a product such as Meta, where anyone can really join, that bar is very different. So that's what I mean by it depends on the type of product that you're working on, with what type of degree of certainty you need to be thinking about privacy and risk. I think across the industry, though, it's going to be very interesting, especially when we think about AI and how that's going to start affecting things. Bots are like pretty consistently an issue, how you can identify those at scale. When you're working on something as sensitive as a dating app, especially in places like Europe, you have all of the GDPR compliance that you have to be meeting. And generally, Europeans just have a higher bar for bots and privacy things overall. It's an interesting cultural difference between that and the US.
What are one or two small behavioral nudges that you've built into products that have had an outsized positive impact when users are coming on board or during their entire experience?
Yeah, I love activation stuff. So I'll speak a little bit about that. I think the first, depending on the length of your product, but really those first couple of days are crucial. It's when your users or your members are at their most excited because they've come over the hump. They've signed up. They've maybe even paid for a service. Like that's when you really have them. So you really have to lead with your best foot forward. Some different activation projects that I've worked on include custom experiences for new members in those first 30, 60 days. So some examples of that that I can share involve custom notifications, which I think is a really good lever. When you think about new members, a lot of them haven't turned their notifications off yet. You probably haven't started spamming them and trying to get them to use every single feature. Hopefully you don't do that, but it definitely can happen in products. So what I really like to do for the new member is really think about what types of things should this member know? Again, kind of going back to that power user and tapping into what a power user does in those first 30, 60, 90 days. Nudging them to do that. So I think notifications are a really strong way to say, hey, by day, whatever, like you should have at least tried XYZ things that we have signal on leads to strong retention, engagement, further down the line. So I think notifications are a strong way. And those can be in-app, it can be email, depends on your product, but I always try to meet my users where they are. So for something like Chief, where your users are incredibly email heavy, they live in their inbox probably more than even you and I do. That's a really great lever. But for something like Facebook, where it's less email, more push, you probably want to go more in that direction. So it's really understanding your ecosystem and your user, but nudging them to do things that successful users have done in those first critical few days.
What are some of your favorite community features to build or iterate on?
I really loved working on dating apps. I like it because I think it has a very clear objective. And community is pretty vague. And I think that when we say community, it can sound fluffy, but I think it's some of the most important things of being alive. And I think really what product can do is take and cut across the world instead of just people around you to find the best people for you. And when we think about that in the context of something like a dating app, dating is some of the most important community that you will ever build. It's the most important financial decision of your life, probably the most important social decision of your life, and in a plethora of other ways too. So I really love that space because it feels so important to get it right. And to think that something that you've thought of and that you've built has resulted in someone like having a happy life is something that's so fulfilling to me. Specifically for features in there, I think finding new ways of dating is always interesting. I think that there's a pretty standard model out there with dating apps. There's a ton of them now. But trying to think of like new ways that people want to date and new innovative things to do. So at Facebook dating, for example, one of the features that I helped work on was dating stories. So integrating your Instagram story with your dating profile, which is a really interesting way to think about how someone can know you on a day-to-day basis. And stories is a really good way to do that. So I think innovative ways in a dating space has always been a fun playing ground for me.
And what would you say has been the biggest career risk you've taken so far?
I would say startups are always a risk. So I would say my current role, but I think it's definitely paying off. I've really loved my time I started off doing two FAANG start or not startups, two FAANG companies. So Meta and Amazon. And I think when you start off in big tech, it's really all you know, and all you really know to be out there. And even though I had some entrepreneurial work at Meta in their incubator, it's not necessarily the same as being at a full startup. So I think inherently you kind of have to say that that's always the biggest risk. But for me, I've found it to be so incredibly fulfilling because the opportunities that you have in a startup environment versus a big tech environment are kind of night and day. I really view the startup environment as a different skill set that you need, but one that I love to flex, which is really going in and saying, I'm not afraid if this is not my problem. This is something that I think our users want and need and care about and make sense to the business. And how can we fix this? And I don't care who owns it. In fact, most of the most exciting problems aren't owned by anybody or are partially owned by five different people. So not being afraid to be the person to step in there, I think is some of the most exciting and rewarding stuff, but also is kind of risky, right? Like you're throwing your neck out there and you're saying, hey, to your CPO and your CEO, I think that this is important and this is why. And that's inherently risky. But I think without risk, there's no reward. And some of my favorite career moments have really come from jumping into those spaces.
What do you think the next big thing in digital community platforms will be in the next, say, like 3 to 5 years, or probably next decade?
I think it's naive to not mention the metaverse, if we're talking that long of a time horizon. I really view the metaverse as sort of the phone of our generation. And if you really think about it, all we've been doing in the technology space in terms of community is getting closer and closer to being in real life as possible. So letters to phones to FaceTimes to high quality FaceTimes, it feels like the very natural like next jump. And if you haven't heard the Friedman Zuckerberg podcast interview yet, that was so like chills I got when watching that. Like to really understand, for people who haven't maybe heard of it, there is a snippet in there where they're in the metaverse, but they use technology called Kodak. And what it does is it makes you actually feel like you are in the space with someone. You almost forget that you're not. And to think about how powerful that can be to not just see someone's facial reactions because you get so much more, but to get them in 3D, like that to me feels like such a next level sort of experience. So I think that that's definitely where we're headed. I think that there's inherently a lot of risks with that and a lot of precedent setting that we are going to have to do over these next 3, 5, 10 years to make sure that we can get there. And I think if those foundational blocks are done right, we will be able to. But I think it'd be naive to think that we can just jump to it, you know?
That episode was pretty wild. Like seeing
Yeah.
the how realistic the experiences the conversation looked.
Yeah. And
And
the play-by-play too, where it was like the Kodak version and then like the scan version and then like him actually talking and seeing how his upper right eye would like move in the same exact way in both settings. It was insane to think about.
it was pretty wild. If you could pick any fictional character to be your mentor, who would you choose and why? I say probably Dr. Manhattan. He's always been it's so weird. I'm not a big DC fan. I'm a really big Marvel fan, but that character from DC like far outweighs like the knowledge, wisdom, and power of all Marvel characters.
Yeah.
So he's he's really cool. Like my all-time favorite superhero, I'd say.
Yeah, that feels kind of inspiring to me. I feel like an Iron Man would be really interesting. Not just for like the tech innovation, which is like if you think about it, crazy, but also like now not implausible. So I think that would be very cool. But I just kind of love his attitude. Like I really like admire and look up to people in my sort of day-to-day who, I mean, granted, there's some pitfalls there. It's a fictional character, but kind of have that attitude of like, I have this vision, like this is what I want to do. And I'm in a place that's like secure enough that I can take that risk. And I think that that is just a really powerful place to lead from and like one that I hope to aspire to one day. But I think when you think of mentors, having someone who is in a position that you hope to one day be in and is able to act in a certain way that kind of says like, this is me, this is where I am, this is the vision that I see, and I am, gritty enough to make sure that I get there, and smart enough to back it up. So I appreciate the DC Marvel call out. It was very helpful for me answering your question.
Yeah, and also like working at Chief, I think I should probably like rephrase the question as well, because like women are the real life superheroes that we have today.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with any trailblazing woman in history, who would it be and why?
I would have to say Michelle Obama. Her books are fantastic. If you haven't read them, definitely do. I think that there's something, I don't know, so inspiring and so powerful about her and how she has conducted her life, conducted her work, and conducted her passion. And I think that that's something that not only would I love to ask her about, but I think she's someone that you would just like love to sit down with and have a conversation with too. We had her at Chief right before I joined, and watching her video and her interview was definitely a big selling point for me.
I love that. This is my last question here. I ask everyone who comes on the podcast this question, and it is, what's one weakness that you've turned into your strength?
I would say that I'm not technical. I always kind of called that out as my weakness, as a PM. I think everything else you can kind of work your way around. Like you can learn Figma, you can do some SQL, like you can take some classes around it. And I think just as much as product is an art, I think being technical is such an art, and really takes time to craft. So for me, that's something that I was very insecure about when entering the product space. I was scared to talk to engineers and ask a question and feel like I was wasting their time. And for me, a big thing that I learned through a lot of working with great engineers, who I would just kind of pull aside after meetings and ask them if they'd grab coffee with me and get to ask my questions. A thing I really learned through them is there aren't dumb questions. And in fact, if you ask very simple questions, sometimes it makes engineers pause and say, oh, yeah, why didn't we just do it this way or that way? And I think for me, it's really turned out to be a strength. So the asking why a bunch of times, it's very real. It's very much to do it. And don't be afraid to do it just because someone is technical, because the engineers ask you back why a bunch of times too, to user flows. So you should be able to do it back. And I think it really has led to either shortened processes, or just like better communication on the team. I've seen our team through that culture of question asking, mostly due to my lack of technical abilities, really result in just like better products. We don't really ask ourselves why enough. And if someone else does it for us, I think it's actually a really great strength.
I love that. Kaylee, thanks so much for joining us on the Same Logic podcast. Where can our listeners find you if they'd love to connect?
Yeah, people are happy to connect with me on Facebook, or not on Facebook, or I guess also on Facebook, but I was gonna say LinkedIn. LinkedIn is definitely the best place to find me. So it's linkedin.com/Kaylee Slusser.
You've just listened to another episode of the Same Logic podcast. The Same Logic podcast is brought to you by Same Logic. Surveys for micro research that product teams love. To stay in touch with everything happening here at Same Logic, you can follow us on LinkedIn or on Instagram. And to stay up to date with all new episodes from our podcast, follow us on Spotify or the podcast app you're listening to this on right now for more episodes. I'm Dwayne Samuels from Same Logic. Take care. Cheers.